This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Very curious to talk with me about where I was at in my walk with the Lord, and I clearly said I just don't know. So they invited me to church, and I think this is what's very important. I think as we think about how we come to saving faith, quite often while there's the scriptures, like I've got my Bible here with me, the knowledge of the Bible is how the Lord speaks to us. We have to confirm everything here in the scripture, and when we read our Bibles, we are not swayed from the right to the left. It really grounds us in what the Lord wants for us, so that there's no confusion. And so when they brought me to Bible study and they took me to church and I got to sit down and listen to the Bible, it was rather convicting. But that all started off with a relationship. I was relating to other young guys, and they were the ones who befriended me and came alongside me and shared God's word with me. And that really helped me be more receptive to what they had to say about the gospel. But I recall being in a church service where I just felt the Lord, by His Spirit, change a very stony and very broken and very joyless heart into a new heart, a beating heart of flesh, a heart that was to be made for after God's own heart. And the Lord just got a hold of me there, and He said, "Trevor, you need to confess that Jesus is Lord." And so I remember walking forward on a worship service, and I remember at that time truly giving my whole life over to Jesus Christ, because He really is the fulfillment of all things. John 10:10 says that Satan comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And I think that's really what I was feeling in my life. There was no joy. Things were being destroyed. It was, you know, there's just simply Satan is a liar. He wants you to think that you're your own God, or you're the captain of your destiny. And you know, you just, it never works out that way. But as you continue reading on John 10:10, it says, "Though Satan comes to seek, kill, and destroy, I have come to give you life now and forever to the full." And this is the kind of joy that we get when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a decision to walk forward. The way that salvation works, it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a, you sign the prayer card, you say the little prayer, and you say, "Okay, well, I did that thing, so I must be good with the Lord." It is a changed heart that follows after the Lord day after day. And of course, we are not saved by our works. It is not that I'm doing these things that keeps me under God's saving grace. It's Him alone. Ephesians 2:8-9 says simply that we are saved by grace, not of works, lest we would boast. And that God would prepare beforehand things that we would do, works that we would walk in them. But that's simply out of response to the saving grace of God. We live a life for Him now because of the love He's had for us. See, before my moment of conversion, I was simply thinking, well, if I just do enough nice things, if I do enough good things, then God will love me. If I just do enough good works, help out enough people, try to be a nice guy, help be ethical, then the Lord would accept me into heaven, as if somehow I can tell God I've earned it. But that's just not how it works. All world religions teach that you have an ascending process. You have to work your way up to God. Only Christianity is the one where you have God who comes down to us. And now you and I, as Christians, respond to Him. So after that day, I just remember picking up a Bible, and I remember just starting from the beginning. You read through Genesis and Exodus, and then you get to Leviticus, and then you get a little tired, and then you realize, well, there's other ways to maybe read the Bible in a year. And but honestly, I started just reading through every book of the Bible. I so enjoyed it, and there was so much that I missed out on. All those days of high school and college, I did not really have a good understanding of the Bible, and so I wanted to revisit all these stories, and of course, going through the New Testament and seeing what the Lord has prepared in the future. You read the book of Revelation. Notice that it is a book with one, with no S. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. And so I just spent a number of years, about 16, 17 years ago, after I came to know the Lord, and just reading the Bible. And I went on to teaching biology after I graduated with a biology degree. And one of my friends who taught history at this school, he was going to Knox Seminary for night classes. And I just thought that was really neat. I didn't know that there's these highly academic classes you could take. And I really just wanted to get to know God's Word more deeply. And so I started attending these night classes just to sit in on them, and they were so inspirational, bringing out a lot of detail in the scriptures that I didn't quite see the first time around. And of course, every time we walk through God's Word, He's always speaking to us, and there's things that, you know, come up, and it's like looking at a diamond, and depending on how you turn the diamond, it kind of glistens and shines in different ways, but it's still the same source. And that's the scripture. It's you revisit these texts over and over again, and there's a lot of things that we can take away when we try to understand the character of God. So I decided after we got married, that lady who got me involved at this Bible study is now my wife. And so we got married about 2012. And after teaching for about a year, I started classes over at Knox Seminary, where I just really fell more in love with God's Word. And that got me interested in ministry, in a formal sense. Even though I was teaching during the weekdays, I would then use my weekends, and I would fill in for pastors in their pulpits when needed, and help out in my local church just as a normal person who goes to church. You want to help out where you can. God calls you to serve, and you will know my disciples by their fruit. Again, not because we do things to show off. It's just the natural outworking of saving faith is it just produces fruit, like a fruit tree produces fruit. So after some time in seminary, I felt the call to enter into full-time ministry. And that's something that I also had to talk about with my wife. And she was very supportive of it, to the point where I was able to go full-time to school and graduate. And then when I finished out with my MDiv there, it gave me more opportunity to go around the state of Florida, preach in different churches, and work with a lot of pastors, be interviewed. And so the local church we were a part of down in South Florida was a part of the ARP. Not the AARP, but the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. And it's a great, faithful group of churches up and down the East Coast of the United States. And we are expanding out westward. And they've been a faithful Christian denomination really ever since the founding of the country. There was two groups out of Scotland, missionary groups, that said that there's no king but Christ. And there were the Covenanters, and then you also had what was called the Associates. And the Covenanters went over to the United States right before, I think later 1600s, like 1680s, 90s. And then also the Associates did the same as well. So this is actually before the founding of the country, during the colonial days. And as they got together in 1783, the Covenanters came under a new name called the Reformers. And then you also have the Associates. So you have the Associates and the Reformers coming together, Philadelphia, 1783, to finally put together this one group of faithful Scottish mission churches that are a part of the Presbyterian group. And ever since, it's kind of stuck together. So we're one of the oldest denominations in the United States. And actually, I feel it's a real privilege, and it's wonderful. In fact, it's humbling. To be a part of such a faithful group. Many of these men just came off a big synod meeting this past few weeks, and you see these faithful pastors who are just trying to shepherd God's flock. Really, we're called to be under-shepherds of the great high shepherd and walk through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, coming alongside God's people, helping them grow in their love for Jesus and his word. And so I was ordained into the ministry about 5 years ago and was called up to Vero Beach, where uniquely, when my wife and I were married, our honeymoon was in Vero. Who would have thought that 7 years later, I would be helping out and serving in a church at Morning Star here in the South Vero area. And it has been a blessing. It is wonderful. There's a lot that goes into ministry that I've been learning even to today. There's a lot of things that seminary doesn't prepare you for. So, but it's been a great season, and I'm just thankful to serve the Lord in this capacity. But I'd like to remind all the listeners right now that ministry is not just something that a priest does. Ministry is not just something that a pastor does alone. Ministry belongs to the people of God in the same way that the church is not a building. The church is a people. Yes, we gather together. Hebrews says that we should not neglect the fellowship of the saints. And let me encourage you, if you are not attending a local church, please find a local biblical church that preaches God's word and get involved and gather together, because that's what we are called to do. Even the Greek word for church, it's the word we called ekklesia. There's a word that we also use when we try to study pastors and associates and different ministry departments. It's called ecclesiology. And how do we do our sacraments? How do we do our baptisms? How do we have our hermeneutics? How do churches relate to other churches? This is all called ecclesiology. But the word ekklesia is really two partitions of a Greek word, ekklesia, ek meaning out of, and klesia is called. And so we are called out, all of us as the people of God, to share God's word, and so we gather together. And so so I got to be a part of the ARP, serving as a minister, and Martin Luther, one of his famous quotes, and man, this man he's got a lot of great quotes and a lot of good humor. I would recommend several great books about the life of Martin Luther, but
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hey everybody, I'm Charlie Kirk. I'm excited to invite you to the Believers Summit in West Palm Beach, Florida this July 26, 27, 28. The summit is more than an event. It is a mission to empower Christians across America to stand courageously for truth. Join us for an inspiring lineup of speakers, including Jensen Franklin, Ali Stuckey, Frank Turek, John Amanchuku, and so much more. We'll provide you with the practical knowledge and strategies to boldly live your faith with grace and conviction, deeply rooted in the gospel. Register now at tpusafaith.com/believers. I'll